Kings chapter number 23. We're studying the last four kings of Judah, southern kingdom. Remember, Judah goes a little bit longer in its existence than the northern kingdom of Israel because they had a number of good and godly kings. And boy, we just studied Josiah last week, and a man that was godly because of his what? His priorities, right? We learned some things that he prioritized. And now we're going to study the last four kings, and none of them are good. We're in 2 Kings 23, the Bible speaking about Jehoahaz. In verse 31, the Bible says, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Wait a second. This is Josiah's son. This is of the godly kings of Judah. Josiah's top three. And his son is going to take over and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Did you know that Josiah would be the last king of Judah to enjoy independence from foreign powers? Josiah, the 16th king, reigned for those years and turned Judah around in many ways and tore down the high places and, boy, a lot of good things. And he's the last king that Judah enjoys true freedom under. And now God's going to begin to bring the judgment of being under somebody else's thumb. Sense any of that in America today? Sense us losing our independence? Sense us having more foreign control from the outside over us? I believe in Judah, it was a manifestation of God's judgment. And we're going to read about it in these last four kings who ruled. The four kings that we're going to study here, they ruled a combination of just 22 years. Remember, Judah has had some kings that have been in place and stability for long periods of time. But in the last four kings, these four kings, their reign totals 22 years. In fact, Jehoahaz, 3 months. 3 months and things are going to change. Rapid turnover in a kingdom is generally not a good thing. It's interesting that Jehoahaz was in there for 3 months and he chose not to follow God or the ways of his father. Chose, that's a key word. Choice, that's a key word. You and I make choices. In our lives, I believe we have more access to the Word of God today and in all kinds of ways to study it than in the history of our nation. Probably in the history of mankind, we could say. Mount Zion Baptist Church, we get the Word of God at least four times a week. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you're at an ambassador's outing, you get the Word of God. If you're at a teen activity, you get the Word of God. There are other times in which we give out the Word of God. You can go online, sermon audio, and you can pick out of 1,000 messages what you want to listen to. You can put a CD on your computer and have access to a word study of the Word every place it's used in the Bible in a matter of 5 seconds. Unbelievable. It's not that we don't have the resources to choose to walk after the Lord. We just make the choices not to. This guy, Jehoahaz, it's not that he didn't have an example in front of him. It's not that he didn't have somebody that was showing him the way. Man, this is the way to walk. This is the right way. Walk in it. He had that right in front of him, Josiah. But he still had choices to make. You can have a good church and still not make the right choices. You have the Bible, you have 10 of them sitting on your shelf at home. and still make the wrong choices. You know, it's a good reminder for us this morning that everybody has to make choices. And you got to make right choices to follow the ways of God. And if you make wrong choices, then God notes it. In fact, He noted it in the Word. This man was walked, did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. And so sin is not something that is thrust upon us. Like, you know, I just had no choice. No, no, no. Every time we sin, we make a choice. It's full of choices. And here, he made a choice. Notice, turn over in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 36, because 2 Chronicles 36 is the parallel passage on Jehoahaz. A couple things about Jehoahaz as you're turning there. Number one, this is the second Jehoahaz. So if you remember studying the northern kingdom, the kings of Israel, there was also a Jehoahaz in the northern kingdom. He was the 11th king of Israel, and he stated to have reigned 17 years. This is the Jehoahaz of the southern kingdom, and only reigns 3 months. He also has another name in the scriptures, and that is Shalom. And we find that name over in Jeremiah chapter 22. And so just a couple of things to understand about him in the place of Scripture. In 2 Chronicles 36, we see now the king of Egypt coming in on Judah. And the Bible says, verse number 1, then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. His rise to the throne is interesting because all throughout the kings, we have the oldest son rising to the throne, right? And so here a man dies, and his oldest son is the next in line to step up, right? This happens over and over again. But when we get to Jehoahaz, it doesn't happen. Eliakim is the oldest, but the people choose Jehoahaz. That's interesting to me. It did not take the natural course of the oldest taking over the kingship. It seems that the people put something in place here, put Jehoahaz in place, which was not the way that God had it set up. There's some argument that maybe they were looking at Jehoahaz, and of course Josiah was in battle with Egypt. Josiah lost his life in that conflict. And so maybe they thought Jehoahaz, they had a better chance politically with Jehoahaz than they did with Jehoiakim. We don't know for sure, and the Bible doesn't come out clearly and state it, but it didn't follow the normal course. His rise to the throne took place in an abnormal way. And then his fall from the throne, go back to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. And look at verse number 33. 2 Kings 23, verse 33. And Pharaoh Necho put him, that's Jehoahaz, in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho, who's really running Judah now, right, made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah's father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt, and he died there. He went to a foreign land, under a foreign king, taken captive, and he never returned. 3 months is the length of his reign. And then the king of Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, takes over. And he takes Jehoahaz, and now he's moving the pawns into place. Now he's going to put the next king in charge of Judah. Do you ever feel like in America that there's pawns being moved in place by somebody else? That's where Judah's at. And by the way, it wasn't godly kings being put in place. It was wicked kings being put in place. Two things out of Jehoahaz's life. Beware of stepping outside the will of God. I don't know where Jehoahaz, where the choices were made to step outside the will of God, but there were choices. Maybe it was as a 12-year-old. I don't know. Maybe it was as a 19-year-old. The Bible's not clear. The Bible doesn't enunciate for us where those places were. We just know he stepped outside the will of God. And my friend, one step outside the will of God is a really bad direction for your life. It's a bad course. It's not, well, this one thing won't hurt me. No, it will hurt you. It will. It's leading you astray. And beware of stepping outside the will of God. Number two, beware of departing from the path of good men who have gone before you. Beware of that. If there are people that have carved out a good path, then walk in it. Walk in it. Brother Money's in-laws are Larry and Donna Stallings. You know what? They carved a good path. Many ways, they carved a good path. Boy, they got in the Bible assembly work and the printing ministry. And guess what Brother Money's doing today? He's walking down the same path. He found good people following God, and let me stay in that path. Don't be quick to leave the path of good men, good women. Don't think that you know better. Don't think, well, they're kind of little old and, you know, old-fashioned, and, you know, they believe some quirky things. Don't be quick to do that. Jehoahaz was. At 23 years old, he was ready to say, oh, Dad, I know you went that way, but, you know, I think I'm going this way. And it didn't end up well at all in Jehoahaz's life. Let's go to the next king, king number 18, and that is Jehoiakim or Eliakim, as we read about in 2 Kings 23. If you look at the snapshot there in your notes, his length of reign over Judah was 11 years, taking us to 598 B.C., in 598 B.C., of course, we're talking now 600 years before Christ. So when you're working Old Testament, remember, you're working back to the time of Christ. So we're going from 609 to 598. And Jehoiakim is put in place by Pharaoh Necho. The contemporary kings of Israel, there are none of them. They're in captivity. And the prophets Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and Ezekiel are all writing during Jehoiakim's reign. He is also the son of Josiah and Zebedah, and Zedekiah, his brother, would be the successor. His name is means whom Jehovah will raise. There's some major events we want to study in his life. 2 Kings chapter 23, look at verses 34 through 37. The Bible says, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah's father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, and of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebedah, the daughter of Padiah of Rumah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers did. And interesting passage here. He was put in place. He was basically a vassal that was put in place by the king of Egypt, as we read. And he would also be a vassal to Babylon. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Kings 24. So Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, takes Jehoahaz to Egypt into captivity. He puts Jehoiakim in the throne, in the place of the throne. And now we know ultimately that Judah is going to fall to Babylon, right? We know that's going to happen. That's the ultimate captivity. And so we read in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 1, "In his days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him." And so God sent invading armies to capture and enslave Judah. Jehoiakim was taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, who put him in chains. He carted him off to Babylon. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles 36:6. But he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. During the time that King Jehoiakim reigned as a vassal of Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah is preaching in Jerusalem. And God's message was that the Babylonians would come in and it would be God's punishment for Judah's sin, and that the Hebrews, or the Jewish people, should repent. Interesting that God is still giving warnings to the Jews right up to the end. Here's Jehoiakim. During Jehoiakim's reign, he's taken captive, and Jeremiah is preaching his lungs out to the people and saying, "You're going to go into captivity with Babylon. It's high time that you get right with God." It was at this time that Daniel and his three friends were also taken to Babylon. Jehoiakim was later returned to Jerusalem, although he had to act as Nebuchadnezzar's servant for 3 years and pay tribute to him. Interesting. When you get to Matthew chapter 1 and you're studying the genealogy of Christ, you know two names that you don't find in it? Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim. Just interesting that the Holy Spirit chose not to have those names recorded. It says, "And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the same time that they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias began Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel," but no mention of those names. What do we learn from Jehoiakim? A few things in your notes, if you're taking notes this morning. Number one, we learn the repulsiveness of selfishness. The repulsiveness of selfishness. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah chapter 22. Did you know that the root of every sin is selfishness? If you have marriage problems or family problems today, can I tell you what the root problem is? It's selfishness. If you have problems at your work and tension at your work, can I tell you what the root problem is? It's selfishness. Because in any relationship, if we knock out selfishness, which we could say it this way, I don't have to have my own way, what does that do? Removes conflict. If I have no selfishness, then the sins that I commit because, watch this, I want them. It's called lust. It's all about my wanter. It's all about selfishness. I could be free from if I could just conquer self. But when I sin, every time I choose to sin, I put self on the throne. Every time you choose to sin, you put self on the throne. And so here's a man that put self on the throne. Jeremiah 22, verse number 11. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord, touching Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah's father, which went forth out of his place, he shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. And woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, and useth his neighbor's service." So Shalom's out of the picture. Jeremiah is writing in the time of Jehoahaz into Jehoiakim. And he says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work." That sounds like a selfish person to me. that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? And we believe he's speaking of Jehoiakim here. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father Josiah eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and the needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. I think it's a very revealing passage that shows how repulsive selfishness is in the eyes of God. Wait, here's Josiah. Here's Josiah that did justice and judgment. Here's Josiah that judged the cause of the poor and needy. Here's Josiah that was to know God. It went well with him. Jehoiakim, why didn't you learn that? In fact, but when we look at you, Jehoiakim, Eliakim, what we see is your eyes and your heart, that it was all about you. Shed innocent blood, oppression of the poor, violence. What's the end of that life look like? Four times. Don't think, Jehoiakim, that anybody's going to show up at your funeral and cry over you being out of the picture. Ain't nobody feeling bad about you or missing you. In fact, going to be a very lonely burial. Selfishness. In fact, the Bible says that even his burial would be beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Meaning he wouldn't even get a burial in the place that he reigned. It would be made sure that he was outside the city. Because selfishness stinks in the sight of God. God says, I look at your life, and your life was all about you. Dear Christian, it's a good time to stop and ponder your life this morning. Your life about you? God put it down here. He didn't put it down for us to gloss over. Well, it's a major prophet, but it's hard to understand, preacher. I think, you know, oh no. No, he put something in Scripture for us, written for our learning, so that we would not follow that example. And I'll be honest with you, in America, it's very easy to live for yourself. Very easy to live for yourself. Very easy to live for your things, your goals, your family, your, instead of his, instead of others. And the commentary on Jehoiakim's life is, boy, you get to the end of that life, and at your funeral, Jehoiakim, we're going to find out what selfishness looks like in the end. Give your life to others. Invest your life in others. That's why God designed the Christian life, was for us to invest in others. He made the people pay heavy tribute to Egypt. He forced labor, but built himself extravagant mansions. According to this passage, Jehoiakim, he had the reputation of selfishness. There's a second thing I want to give you in the last 5 minutes we have this morning. And that is not only the repulsiveness of selfishness, but the reputation of abominations. The reputation of abominations. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 36. It Did you know that the Bible is clear in marking abominations? In other words, the word abominations is not just a general term that has nothing connected to it in the Bible, like out there for us to kind of try to figure out what is an abomination. Right? As specifics. And here the Bible says, speaking of Jehoiakim, now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his what? Abominations, which he did, and that which was found in him. Behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Numbers of abominations, we know six of them, seven, right in Proverbs 6. He was known for his abominations. When you track the life of Jehoiakim in Scripture, the Bible can't separate the word abominations from Jehoiakim. Whenever Jehoiakim's mentioned, abominations come up. Boy, I don't know about you. That is not something I want in my life. I don't want a reputation that I have abominations connected to my reputation. So what are some? Well, a proud look is one. Now the rest of the acts of Chris Starr and his abominations, which he did. A proud look. A lying tongue. That's an abomination to God. You say, preacher, what is the level of abomination? Well, I think the next one kind of gives us the level. It says in Proverbs 6, verse number 17, and hands that shed innocent blood. Murder. Abortion. These are abominations. You participate in any of these. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And you're developing a reputation of abominations. What else, preacher? Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 18. Sowing discord among the brethren is another one, isn't it? I wouldn't think of it like that, preacher. It's abomination. In verse number 18, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, a feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren, all abominations. By the way, you want a little Bible study for your devotions, why don't you go and check out the abominations throughout Scripture. The Bible talks about appearances. One of those abominations, doesn't it? If we dress like a woman or a man, you got your transgender culture. That's abomination. It's abomination. Look at your abominations in Scripture. And here's the truth. When you give yourself to an abomination, you have a reputation of abominations. Now, Christian, all of that said this morning to say this, there are some strong warnings from these kings. Very strong warnings. And things that we should be aware of in our lives. Not just coasting, but understanding, boy, you know what? I make choices like these guys made choices. I have the same opportunities, but I also have the same dangers. I also have the same pitfalls in front of me. I also have the same cliffs to go over like these guys did. And we would be well to learn from them.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh.